Morning to all of you on this, what do we call it, extended weekend, I think it is, extended weekend and Memorial Day weekend. Remember those who have passed on, the military, those guys who have given freedom for us and all those things and all those of our loved ones that have passed on. We kind of use this as a remembrance to them, and so hopefully you're able to do that. I'll tell you, we live in a pretty tough world, don't we? It's not easy. I think every generation has hard moments and hard times, but we're living in a tough one right now, and we definitely need to figure it out. So we need to figure out what are we supposed to be doing, and I want to give you a plug. One of the things that we need to be doing is reading God's Word. That's this thing right here. Jesus says, I'll not live on bread alone, but on the Word of God. We need the Word of God to guide us in all that we do. God didn't just save us to put a notch on the, to put a notch there and to say, well, our check mark saying that one was saved. There's some things that we're called to do. There's some things that He wants us to apply to our lives. And so I want to spend a little bit of time with that this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. We're dropping a couple other ones too, but Ephesians is where we're going to be mostly, chapter 5. So many people say, hey, I'm just going to get back to reading God's Word. Where should I start? You know, and sometimes people want to pick up a book like Ezekiel, and I'm like, don't start there, you know. Don't start in Revelations, don't start there. But Ephesians is a good book to start in, but you'll have a lot of questions if you haven't been in God's Word. First couple of chapters, it'll tweak you a little bit. But it's okay. You don't stop reading something because you don't understand it. You keep reading it, and then as you read it, you'll get more and more insight on it. But in Ephesians chapter 5... and what we see here is we see a piece here. It talks about light and darkness and how we are to be different. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as the Messiah also, that's Jesus, also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity of greed should not even be heard of among you as is proper for saints. And coarse and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this, every sexual immoral or impure or greedy person who is an adulterer does not have the inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah of God. It goes into a place here that we are to be different. Once we come to know who Christ is, we are to be different. We're to be imitators of God. We're not being imitators of God. It doesn't make us God, but we're not being imitators. We're not doing what God's called us to do. We want the salvation, and we want to do our own thing. And I want to tell you, it doesn't work. It does not work. It doesn't work. Okay? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. He says, let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. We are called to be separate from the world. Okay? We are to call about separate from the world. Okay?
Right.
We're going to be in the world, okay? But we don't have to be of it. We're going to be living in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. We work, we grow our families in the world. We do that, but we don't have to be of the world. And the biggest problem with Christians today is we want to be Christians, but we want to be living in the world as the world. And we're supposed to live in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. And when we live of the world, then we're listening to them. Listen, I don't care what your opinion is or what my opinion is. It needs to be walking and aligning with the Word of God. Sexuality. Family. Marriage, attitude, it needs to align with the Word of God. God pulled us out of darkness. That's what He did. He pulled us out of darkness. He says there in verse 7, he says, therefore do not become their partners. We're not supposed to become their partners in the world. We're not supposed to become partners. Yes, we all sin. We all have done the things against God. But the Bible says that we can ask for forgiveness and Jesus Christ forgives us of our sins. And the Bible says he remembers them no more. So he wipes the slate clean and we get a fresh start. And again, if it takes another one, it's another fresh start. And we keep doing it. But this has to be right, not just this lips, but the heart has to be right. But we are not to become partners in that. Listen, I don't care. I probably get in trouble from time to time, but I want to tell you, we don't want a church. We don't want a church that aligns with the world. We want a church that aligns with God's word. We want a church, we want a church that is doing what God has called it to do, not what the public wants it to do. We need a church of people that are going to step up and be what God has called them all to be, not what the world has called them to be. We don't put junk in our bodies to make us feel better. I know some of us have problems with it. I understand that. But once you become a believer, God gives you all that you can, all there it is, you can beat it. Right. Same thing with homosexual lifestyle. You can beat it. Because if you can't, and you have to do it through God, then all things are not possible through Christ. But if you believe and experience the Scripture, that's the problem. We want to know Scripture, but we don't want to experience it. Because when we experience it, there becomes a change in our life. It becomes changes in our life because we can't do it without God. People that struggle with pornography, and I'm not just saying guys, but females struggle with pornography. Listen, there's visual pictures, and you know, you that have done it, you've seen visual pictures. They're still there. They're imprinted in your mind. You cannot forget them. Some of them are just imprinted because it was such a dramatic piece, and you saw it. It's just imprinted. It's there. It's like a tattoo. It's there. If you could have beat it, you would have beat it already. And you can't beat it on your own. We are called to live in the world, but not to be of the world. And we're called out of darkness. We're called out of darkness. He says, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. We were all once in darkness. We all lived in darkness before we knew Christ. We all lived in darkness. But once we become a believer in Christ, Christ begins a new work inside of us. And we need to allow him to do that work. And now he says, you are light. We are light. And then what happens is, light pierces darkness. So the churches should be full if we're shining the light the way we're supposed to. The problem is, we like to shine the light on ourselves, on our own grandkids, on our own family, and not shine the light and live it out there in the way that we're called to do it. Some of us are afraid of the world. We're afraid of the politics. We're afraid of countries. We're afraid of people that don't look like us. We wrap up all our stuff. We get a bunch of bottles of water. We get a bunch of guns. We get all that stuff. Who's coming to get you? I'll tell you who's coming to get you. I'll tell you who's coming to get me. It's Jesus Christ. I don't need that stuff. Hunting fun. Those things are fun. But I'm telling you, when it implodes and takes over your life, there's a fear that comes over some of the most strongest individuals physically, but in their heart, they're filled with fear. There's a fear across our country to be afraid of what's going on. I'm going to tell you, we are light. We are supposed to be piercing the darkness, yet the darkness is piercing into us. And we were once in darkness. That's what he says. We were once in darkness, but now you are light. That's what he says. You are light. You are light. Let me jump over here to Matthew for a minute. Matthew chapter 5. How powerful is that light supposed to be, and how are we supposed to use it? It's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this. He says, You are the light of the world. City on a hill cannot be hidden. You are supposed to be so light, so much light supposed to penetrate off you that you shine it like a city. It says you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do they put a light under a stand, but put it on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house. Everyone in the house. It's supposed to bring light. And he says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and follow. So the whole piece there in Matthew 5, verse 14, he says, you're the light of the world. A city cannot be hidden. No. You are the light of the world. It's not the street lights. It's not the airline light. It's you. It's me. We're supposed to be the light of the world in this darkness. Jesus calls him and says, you are the light of the world. And it can't be hidden. We don't put it under a bowl. We put it on the stand and gives light to everyone in the house that they may see your good deeds. Listen, does people know that you're a Christian or not? They see it by the light that penetrates off of you. They see that light. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, he goes in verse 9, he says, for the fruit of the light results. So what comes out of this light? What comes out of this light that's supposed to come off of me? What's supposed to come off of me? Not the things of the darkness, not those things of darkness, but what is it? One of those is it results in all goodness. Goodness. When you're in darkness, you do things that are not good. You do some things that are good because they're good for who? They're beneficial for me and my family. When you're in darkness, you do it all for self-gratification. But once you become a believer in Christ, you're taken out of the darkness and given, and Christ says, now you're the light, and now that light produces goodness. It also says righteousness, which is godly living or Christ-like living. Righteousness means your lifestyle has changed. People ought to say, wow, what's going on in your life? Why'd you change? How are you? I see the changes that are going on in your life. And then you begin to speak up. So it's goodness, it's righteousness, it's truth. You know, when you're in darkness, we have a tendency to lie all the time. Come on now. When you're living in, and you're using, you're doing, and whatever, lying is just part of the conversation. It's just part of the conversation. But once you become a believer in Christ, that light comes through and the truth begins to come out. Not lies and deceit, but truth. Not deception, but truth. And some of us need more truth in our lives, but not just in our lives, but need more truth coming out of our lives. We need some shakers in this community. We need some people that's going to shake it up some. He says, let me lift it up here. Verse 12, he says, for it is shameful even to mention what is done by them. That means those in darkness, in secret. But verse 13, everything exposed by the light is made clear. Everything exposed by the light is made clear, for what makes everything clear is light. So this light that we are supposed to be becomes, everything becomes clear. It should be clear. And when light shines on me, I should be able to be honest about it. I should be honest about it. Some of us have lived too long in darkness. Separated from God, separated from the things of God's blessings and those things. And we're struggling because we continue to want for ourselves. But the light exposes the darkness. If you have one secret and it's a dark secret, that's one too many. That's exactly what the Lord wants to work on. That's exactly what the Lord wants to work on. Everything exposed by the light is made clear. Is there places that you avoid because Is there any places that you avoid because of fear of being something coming out that you know you haven't dealt with? He says, get up, O sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and the Messiah, Jesus, will shine on you. That's what Jesus does. Jesus shines on people. And when Jesus shines on people, there comes a difference. Either people accept him, or they walk away from him. They receive his gift, or they walk away from him. And they go back living in darkness, being separated from God. Being separated from God is not what we want. It's not what we need. Sometimes we're like flashlights, and you put, some flashlights are really good, and they can shine real well, and other ones seem like you always want to change the batteries because it's, the batteries are going out, and it doesn't put out any light at all. Sometimes I feel like that, don't you? Where there's just, I'm just glowing just enough. Yeah, I can say there's a light, but it's not really doing anything. I have to change the batteries. And I put the new batteries in and it shines pretty good for a while. And then sometimes you can just put it in the drawer and when you need to use it, just sitting there, you go back to use it and it's not even doing anything. It's like right back where it was. You know what we have a temptation to do? What I do? I usually take it, throw it in the garbage and go get another one. Well, I want to tell you, thank God that he doesn't do that. There's so many times I feel like that flashlight. I'm not shining the way I should be, and I feel like I've just got dim, a dim light. Just can't barely get myself through the dark. But Jesus restores us in a way that only he can. You see, batteries only last for a while. The Holy Spirit is forever. And our power comes not from a source of this world, but the source from God, which is God's Spirit, his Holy Spirit. And when that's put inside of you, and the Bible says that when you come to know Christ, he inserts his Holy Spirit inside of you. There's a power that comes in you, and then you are to radiate that light on a continuous basis, and you can do it. The only reason it's dimmed down is because of what I do. The only reason it's dimmed down is because of what I'm thinking, or because I want to turn it off. Because with God, the Holy Spirit, there's enough power in there to generate a huge light. So that those around us that are lost can see that there's hope in this dark world, that they can say, why is there light over here and not in my life? Why don't I have any light in my life? Why is there light over there? How many of you feel a little guilty sometimes because you know you're not allowing that light to penetrate off you like it should? We should be like lighthouses on the shores where ships are looking and knowing. And they see that light. They know what it is. And we hide, sometimes we hide behind ministries, we hide behind things, we hide behind past testimonies and past experiences where you need to be shining your light on a daily basis, not on a yearly basis, not on a decade basis, but all the time. Because there's so many people living in darkness, we're rubbing shoulders with people that don't know Christ, so why would we not want to share the gospel? Why would we not want to share the things of God? Why would we not want to? There's so many people out there. There's so many people out there. In the book of Philippians, we're kind of even called special. There's a special light. In chapter 2 in the book of Philippians, in verse 13, for it is God who is working in you. Do you know that? That God is working in each one of you that know him? When you're lost and you don't know him, he's got people out there trying to find you, know you, share the gospel so that they can be part of this. But for it is God, for God is working in you. Why would God even do that? I don't even feel worthy of that. But it's because of Christ.
For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purposes. What does that mean? For it is good, for God is working in you, because you can't do this on your own. He says, one, enabling you to desire. He's putting a desire in you to serve him, to let this light shine. He puts a desire in you. If you don't have that desire, there's something wrong. And it's not something wrong with God. It's something wrong within ourselves. He says, so enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purposes, to serve him. God didn't just save us to save us and just bring us on up into heaven. He left us here that we might be the light that Jesus called us. Since you are the light of the world, we are to do that. He puts a desire inside of us so that we will work out and do the good things that he called us to do. That's pretty big. He says, to do everything, he says, do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation. Even God knows that the world has been perverted. It's wicked. But he also, the Bible says that for God so loved the world. God loves people. He doesn't love the sin, but he loves the people. But people are attached to sin. The only way to take care of that sin was that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all of our sins, that whoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a salvation peace that comes with Christ, but only comes with Christ, that detaches me, or washes me as white as snow, or detaches my sins away, so that I can do the works of him. Does that still make me, does that make me or you a perfect person? No. In this world, we will have trouble. We will have tribulation. We will have sin. But we, as believers, know what to do when we sin. Amen? We know what to do when we go through trouble. We seek God. We seek God through trials. We seek God through trouble. We see him through persecution. We seek him through our sinful moments. We seek him through temptation. We continually to seek God out. But he says, we are like children of God who are faultless in a crooked and a perverted generation. Here it says, among whom you shine like the stars in the world. So you can say, I'm a star. I'm a star for Jesus. Now, from you that were, I'll just say, big time sinner, whatever you want to call it. Do you remember what it was like walking in the world in darkness? You got into trouble? Was anybody really there for you? Did the light come shine? Did the light come? I mean, was good things coming off you, rolling off you? No. You were like a magnet to trouble. You walked in a room and it just found you, right? No, the problem was you just made it bigger because you're trouble too. And we go into a room and it would just get darker. But once you allow Christ to come into your life, he says, you're like stars. You're like stars in the world. You're like stars in the world. And all that movie Hollywood stuff and all the Grammys and all the Oscars, listen, that's nothing compared to what God's got for his people on that day. When he calls your name up, this ain't nothing like what God's got planned. God has a great ceremony planned and a great award ceremony and all of those things. But here, he says, you are like stars in the world. Now, none of you have ever called me a star. My wife don't even call me a star. But Jesus says, I'm like a star. And guess what? It's not about lifting me up. It's about the light radiating off of me. See, the world says it's all about me. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to lift myself up. But with the Bible and with God, it's about lifting up and letting it radiate light, that others may come to know who Christ is and not fall and die in the darkness. Listen, if you live in the darkness, you die in the darkness. You're just getting prepped up for where you're going in the darkness.
Listen, those people that says they'll see you in hell and we'll party there, listen, there's no party there. There's no party there. The Bible says it's gnashing of teeth. It's pain and suffering. And there is a hell because the Bible says there is one. There is one. And it says when we live like these things, these sexual perverted and all these kind of things, and we die in our sin, we die in our sin and we own it. It's ours. But the Bible also says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And He makes you a star. You know, there's some people out there looking for hope. And you have the answer. It's inside of you. There's people looking for hope. They don't know who Jesus is. They heard of Him, but they don't know who Jesus is. And there's a world out there bashing His name all the time. But Jesus did say, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So there's a promise. They can bash all they want, but they will not destroy the church. He said, hold firmly to the message of life, that I can boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. In the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. What he's saying is, even if this kills me where I'm at, Paul's in prison, writing this letter. He says, but even if I'm poured out, even if my life is taken away from me, I'm still a star. I'm still shining. Because he sees and he knows that this is not it. We're only passing through, right? This is a temporary place. And Paul says, even if my life is taken, I'm still glad and I rejoice in all of you. You know what's amazing at night when you go outside and you look at night and you see the dark sky? You notice when you see the dark sky and you see one star here and you see one star over there and it's just kind of like one here and one there and maybe one over here and you don't see much. And then you go out there another night and you see like stars everywhere. It got much brighter, didn't it? You see, when the stars are all lighting up, has more power than just one star here and one star there. And then there's that one star that outshines them all. And you always know where to go. It's called the North Star. You see, the Bible says there's wolves in sheep's clothing. Sometimes we want to follow a star. There's only one star we follow. That's Jesus Christ. He is the North Star. He is stable. He is there every time. And even when the clouds come in the way and the storms are there, guess what? That star is still shining on the other side of that storm. And that's where we struggle. We think God left us. We think God's not around us. But it's when we go through those storms of knowing, I know, my faith tells me that that's still there. Science will tell you that the star is still there. But my faith has to tell me that God is still there. That's why your faith has to increase. You need to ask God to increase your faith. Because what you got right now may not be enough to get you through the things, that the storms that you're getting ready to go through. And the only one that can increase that is you working with Christ. Your faith needs to be tested from time to time. We talked about that on Wednesday. So that you can grow and have endurance and perseverance when the storm, the big storms come. And you know, behind that storm, no matter how thick it is, and how dark it is, that Christ is still there. That Christ is still there. This is an unchanging peace.
Now what happens is, sometimes at night, you see something really awesome. What is that? Is that a plane? No. That's a falling star. Sometimes, folks, we pass on from this world, don't we? And that light extinguishes out. It's the way it is here. My life is going to end sometime, and so is yours. And my light's going to extinguish out. I'm going to heaven. The light's not going to shine here no more. It's going to be in heaven. Now, could you imagine if all the stars were falling and there were no new stars? We need to see more stars. Church is like a clear night. All the stars are gathered for worship. But when the storms come, sometimes it's hard to find them. Now, I want to tell you and remind you that there is one star that is faithful above all. He never moves. He always shines. Through the darkest of nights and the most bitter of nights, the coldest nights, Christ outshines us all. He is the faithful one. He is the one that I need to go to. He is the one that you need to go to. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how dark it is, no matter what you don't know, yeses from nos and lefts from rights, and you need to get on the voyage of Christ. You need to get on the voyage of Christ. Matthew says that we are the light of the world. Jesus says in Matthew, we are the light of the world. Philippians tells us that we are like shining stars. I think we're more important than we think we are if we look at it spiritually. Because it's not just, there's a world out here that's weighing in the balance. And I got to ask you, when you became a star for the Lord, and you come to know Christ, are you letting your life shine? Are you letting it shine the way it should? I pray that you are. And if you're not, the only way to get re-energized is to get your life right with Christ. For the worst words to ever hear would be this: depart from me, I never knew you. But I love these scriptures in Ephesians and Philippians. It tells us that we are children of God. But God didn't just save us, just to save us. We would be used for His purposes. So, I'm going to ask you all to stand for a moment. This is Memorial Day weekend. I have some people in my family that were Christians, and they are like stars, and their lights are not shining here no more. But I need to share the gospel with my grandkids when they get older. I need to be showing, being a witness to them, so the new stars will be up in the sky. New stars will be shining the light on the darkness. Don't trust in your brain. Thinking gets us in trouble. The heart moves us in emotional ways that can get us in trouble. If you can generate this peace right in the middle, right here, the soul, the spirit, what is God calling on you to do?